Suppose you're offered $15,000 to walk 2.5 miles each day for 6 months. In total, you will take 1 million steps and be well paid for losing a few pounds. Interested? There are a few provisos. First, you must live in a cave. Second, your exercise consists of walking across minefields. Third, each day, men will try to kill you. The odds are 50-50 that you will die or lose a leg before you complete the 1 million steps. Still interested? This is the story of 50 men who said yes. 3rd Platoon fought the hardest sustained battle of the Afghanistan War. When we think of courage, we imagine a man acting bravely in a terrifying situation that lasts for a minute or an hour. These men battled fiercely for 200 days. Because U.S. forces were leaving Afghanistan, they knew their effort was a footprint in the sand, yet every day they went forth to find and kill the enemy. Half of them didn't make it intact to the end of their tour. What kept them going? When I embedded with 3rd Platoon, I felt at home with them because I'm a Marine infantryman, a grunt. That was how I was raised. After Pearl Harbor, my uncle and his baseball team joined the Marines. In 1942, I was 2 years old when they came home after seizing the island of Guadalcanal. The team spent their leave hanging out in their clubhouse in our attic. Assuming they were the resident babysitters, my mother placed me in their care. Thus began my 4-year education. After each campaign, Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Iwo Jima, Okinawa, the survivors returned to their clubhouse. They gave me a toy rifle and tiny uniform, played endless games, and smuggled me down the back stairs wrapped in a blanket when they went out. No boy ever had more protective or peculiar guardians. A few months after my college graduation, I said goodbye to my parents and left for law school. Across from the train station, the Marine Corps had a recruiting station. When I returned home a few hours later, my mother simply said, "You joined the Marines, didn't you?" Like thousands of my fellow grunts, I wore out several pairs of boots in the jungles of Vietnam. I wrote 2 books about that war, a manual of small unit tactics and the story of a squad that lived in a Vietnamese village for a year. 40 years later, I went back to war. Between 2003 and 2013, I embedded with dozens of Army and Marine units in repeated trips to Iraq and Afghanistan. From one war to the next, I joined our grunt platoons and grew close to many who died in battle. In Afghanistan, the realities confronting the platoons mocked the proclamations of our generals. Our officials insisted that our troops act as nation builders, a Sisyphean task that confused both the Afghan tribes and our troops. Our generals promised victory, while insisting that killing the enemy could not win the war. Instead, our grunts were ordered to persuade medieval Islamic tribes to support a mendacious government in Kabul. This strategy was contrary to military and political logic. We invaded Afghanistan to destroy the Al-Qaeda terrorist organization. We stayed to build a nation. This required fighting the Taliban insurgents who were woven into the fabric of the society, while the Afghan government failed to foster a spirit of nationalism. Our grunts departed Afghanistan deeply skeptical of the wisdom of their senior commanders. This is my 6th and final book about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. As I look back, it is clear that America and the West tried to do too much. When Saigon fell in 1975, the Secretary of Defense, James Schlesinger, assured our soldiers that your cause was just and noble. That is equally true of Iraq and Afghanistan. A flawed war policy can coexist with a soldier's determination to fight for his country.